Father, I just thank you for these men coming out, and it's such a beautiful day. We've been blessed with great weather, and I just appreciate and am blessed by the men that are coming here faithfully to receive the word and to spend time with each other and to share in your glory, God, and carry each other's burdens and rejoice with each other, God, in the things that you're doing in their lives. And so be with us in our time in the word, and God, and give me less of me and more of you, and let your word go out, God, and let us leave here different than we came in. And so we just lift these men up, we lift their families up, and we lift all their prayers up to you, God. And you know what they are, and you know what's on their heart. And we lift them up to you, God, in Jesus' mighty, powerful, and precious name. Amen. And so last week, we saw a lot of focus still on Peter and John, and how the Lord was really moving powerfully in their lives. And they stepped out into the temple and they healed the lame man. And then they had a confrontation with the leaders in the temple. And when they got done with that confrontation, obviously it went differently than the last one did with Jesus. And they were incredibly encouraged by that. And they went back and they told the believers about what had happened. And the believers were so unbelievably encouraged by it that they got together, and they have one of the most powerful prayers that I see in the New Testament together as a group of believers. And they pray from Psalm 2, and then they ask for the same thing. If you remember, they asked for the same thing that had just happened with Peter and John. And Peter and John had healed a man, and that healed man was standing there as a witness to everybody else, and that gave and they were able to have boldness out of that. And these believers saw that, and they prayed for themselves that they would have that the Lord would heal, and that they would be able to grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And so when they prayed these things, it says, and they spoke the word. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word with boldness. And so we see, we come into this next section, and I felt like this was a good place to start the next section, because we make a transition at this point. We're leaving Peter and John behind a little bit. The focus is shifting away from just those two individuals, and the church is joining them in like-mindedness, seeking out boldness, healings, and stepping out and preaching the word. And we see that right here in the very beginning. So we see the themes. There's so many themes in this chapter, but the main focus is, and what we'll be drawing out today, are really two things. One, we're going to see the shift from Peter and John into the whole church, and we're going to see how they're overcoming some adversity and how they get some lessons learned from all of that. But even more than that, we're going to see a stark contrast between the life of a believer in Christ and the life of somebody that's not in Christ, and just how different that looks. And so let's start off in verse 32, where we left off last time. And it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of an encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And so we see here some things that the church, we see this next section, right? And we're going to get into the next section with Ananias. But I want to focus on the church and what's going on with them. They were of one heart and one soul. They were completely focused on the Lord and his mission. They're carrying over from the last time, and they are together in this, seeking out to propagate the gospel and to preach the word and to love on each other, and they are of one heart. It is an incredibly sweet time for the believers that they are knit together in this love and in this passion. And we see some of the blessings out of that, that they are of one heart and one soul. They had all things in common, and that they had great power, and that they had great grace was upon all of them. And so we see that that's the thing that we need to take away from this. And so why do we have this next section that we're going to get into, Ananias, that there's this trouble? And because I see sometimes the focus gets to be on that they distributed possessions, and that that wasn't something that the church taught, and that wasn't something the church taught. The church did not teach to lay all of your possessions at the apostles' feet. But this was an act of love that these group of men, and that's really where the focus is. The world wants to take our focus off of being knit together and focus on the individual actions. And unfortunately, when we read this next section, that's exactly what Ananias did. But what we need to take away from this is that even though this wasn't necessarily what the church taught, we don't ever see laying your possessions at the apostles' feet again and living in this communal thing. We see that men need to work and that there are specific criteria for looking and making sure that we're honoring the donations that have come in to serve the people that are actually in need. We see that. But what we need to take away from this is that God is going to bless us when our heart is focused on him, and that we're stepping out and being knit together to have boldness and to heal and all those things. So the church is in this. And so whether there was a mistake made or not in this communal giving to the apostles, the thing about it is that when we step out for the Lord, God is going to bless us. He's going to give us power and great grace, and he's going to make sure that all of our needs, so we don't need to worry about saying what we need to say to men and sharing a devo. The Lord is going to bless that, and he's going to instruct us along the way. And we do see this practice again dissipate, and we don't see it again in the New Testament, but such a sweet time, and we should be encouraged by that. So in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' She said, 'Yes, for so much.' Then Peter said to her, 'How is it you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband." So here we have Ananias, and he is not of one accord with the rest of the disciples. What was he paying attention to? What were they giving? How much were they giving? How do I look the same? He gave 50 acres of land, but I'm going to give 100. So I can hold, that's more than him. I can hold back 75 or whatever it was at the time. And totally took his eyes off the things that were important. And in Galatians, if you just want to flip over to me really quick, I think there's a really good lesson for us here in Galatians. In Galatians 5, starting in verse 4, I want to read something to you about, and the Lord really put this on my heart when I was reading this section about Ananias. Galatians 5, verse 4. It says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law You have fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, Ananias. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, Ananias, whoever he is. And so look what it says here. It says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. And that's the same as giving possessions or not giving possessions avails anything. What does avail? Faith working through love. And so God's not going to let us lie about our faith working through love for very long, guys. He loves us and loves you too much, and that he's going to convict your heart about the way that you give and the way that you serve and the way that you live your life. Whether, because that's what really matters to him. It's not about how much you gave or whether you gave or whether you didn't give, but it's the faith working through love in the actions that you did that matters to God. And so, we go into verse 11 here. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out to the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So we see God protecting his church here by getting rid of Ananias and his wife and removing the hypocrisy from his church. So he's going to protect us the same way in our own lives. And we see this, we see what happens when God does that. And immediately, as soon as that's removed, we see that power is back in the church. And they're all in Solomon's porch, guys. And I think that's really important because we see this group of believers coming back together. They're in the same place that Peter and John were just arrested. And they want to come and they want to be a part of what Peter and John just did. And they were serious about it, and they were putting their lives at risk, and the people could see that. And the Lord had just taken out Ananias, and so they knew that there was a seriousness to their belief. And I think in my own life, this really convicted me because the Lord was telling me that I think we get into this mentality that if we were just a little less serious about our walk, that maybe our walk would be a little more attractive to people. And the world wants to see serious believers. The world is attracted to that. And you see that here, that multitudes of believers were coming. These men and women were together in one accord in Solomon's porch. And that's important to notice that location because that's exactly, they're right back where Peter and John were arrested originally. And so, just encourage us to be okay being believers and to say what we believe in and not worrying about watering it down to be more attractive to other people. So then it says, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. And the biggest thing I took out of this, guys, is that these believers are getting what they wanted. They wanted to be with Peter and John, and they were so encouraged after they had spent a night in jail and had their confrontation with the Jewish leaders. And now here they find themselves all in one communal jail together with Peter and John, and they're about to go before them as well. And God opens up the prison doors, and what does he tell them to do? Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And this life is so much different than the life that I lived before I was in Christ. I honestly, guys, thought that before I got saved, I was on a downward spiral, and I honestly thought that I counted the cost, as Jesus said, and I thought, but the cost, I just could have never known. I knew I was going to give up this, and a lot of the mentality that I have going in to my relationship with Christ was what I was giving up. I was giving up friends. I was giving up going out. I was giving up TV shows. I was giving up music. And I think people see that and they're not ready to make that commitment. But it says here, speak to the people all the words of this life. And what I tell people all the time that I have the opportunity to share with is how unbelievable this life is. I had no idea that I didn't know how to love. I had no idea what it would be like to go out and not have to drink and not have to talk the way that I talked and not have to be focused on the things that I talked. The things I'd be doing this weekend pale in comparison every single day to the life that the Lord has given me. It is truly the happiest, most peaceful, joy-filled years of my life that I could have ever imagined. And when I explain to people, when you really listen to non-believers talk about the same thing over and over and over again, and here we are facing these battles together with the Lord. We're on our knees in prayer. We're fighting these spiritual battles that that you can't explain. And this whole life that we live, guys, is a privilege and an honor. And it'll be written, God, and we'll be able to praise God about it in heaven. So I just encourage you to take stock of the beauty and the treasure of this life and tell people about it. It's completely different. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read the rest of this section, and I'm going to point out a few of the things just from this last section that we can kind of differentiate between the life in Christ and the life outside of Christ. And you can see some of these things right here between the believers and the Jewish leaders. So I'll read starting in verse 21. And when they, that's the high priest and those who were with him, and when they heard that, When they heard that, they entered the temple in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look at the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they sent them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching as the Christ, Jesus as the Christ. So some things to point out here. First, just a couple of really cool things. One, I love the fact that the priest said, "And you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine." And tell me that's not an indicator that it's time to move to Samaria, right? Right from the horse's mouth, right? Jesus said, "Go and spread the word." Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost, and now they're hearing from the priest that the whole world, that you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and they're telling the whole church that, and we see in very short order that they're going to move on, and. But here's the things that I noticed just from this, the difference between living a life in Christ and living a life out of Christ. It says the believers were, we see that the believers were filled with the Spirit right in the beginning, but the priests were filled with indignation. And that was my life before coming to Christ, constantly angry and frustrated, constantly exhausted and furious about all these little things and not walking in the Spirit. We see that the believers are used to set people free. We see that even the shadow of Peter, people were coming so that they could be healed. That multitudes were coming and believing in Christ and having new hope. But the priests were putting people in bondage. And whether it was alcohol, guys, or my mentality, caring about the things of this world and people's opinions, God, the enemy is constantly, in this world and its system is constantly trying to put us in bondage in our minds, God. And Jesus came to set the captives free, to liberate our minds, and to give us freedom in him, guys, just to be confident and loving, God. And we see here that the believers are with the people, and the priests feared the people. And this one was really important for me. Right now, if you can't see it in this country, the enemy is trying to lay down division between people. And there are some believers that are buying into that. And we have to stand up for people. We have to be out there giving the word, loving on people, and not participating in the divisions that are coming. So if you identify with anything other than in Christ and loving, think about the divisions that you're bringing, because the enemy is doing a good job of dividing us, and we should be leading the charge as far as bringing unity together. And we see the believers mixing in the temple and loving the Lord and worshiping the Lord and because of their hearts, the priests were fearful that they should be stoned. And the believer has clarity. And it says here that Peter said, "We ought," which is another, but the word actually is, "We must obey God." And the priests, they have confusion. And what I'm speaking of specifically there is Gamaliel's advice. it was mixed with some wisdom, but some of it was foolishness. The priests were not supposed to wait around and see what happened. They were supposed to look at all teachings in light of the scriptures and be leaders and make a decision. And the awesome thing about the word, guys, and in my life, didn't you notice that when you got saved and when we, as we walk through this world, that the word gives us clarity and that Christ and the Holy Spirit gives us clarity. Why the world is still at the table talking and you have the priests here, you know, coming to the table and where are they and bring us to them. And the believers are out. They're out doing stuff. And the world wants to sit around and talk and they want to discuss. And the word has already told us what we need to be doing and given us all the clarity that we need. And so Peter is very clear. We must obey God and not man. And Gamaliel's advice, although wise to say that, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against it. The fact that he said, let's wait and find out. These men, they were supposed to be leaders. And so it's just not true, guys. There are successful ventures out there that are not from the Lord. And so to look on the surface to see something success or it's not success, we would look at Jeremiah's ministry and the world would say, not a success. But millions and millions of people have been blessed by Jeremiah's ministry over the centuries. And so only God knows those things. But we have the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us clarity, whereas these men had to wait and see. And so last thing I want to read, and I just thought that this was so cool, as we watch the believers step out in faith together and we move into this broader church audience and away from Peter and John, and them going through the same things and this whole experience they have in chapter 5. I look in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you wouldn't mind going there with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. I read this and I thought, Peter had to be thinking about this. This moment in Acts 5 when he wrote this. I just think it's a really cool picture to think that these moments impacted Peter. Listen to what it says. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, for that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life, this life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and with meekness and fear, having good conscience when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And it ends, and it just reminds me in back in verse 42 of Acts 5, and daily in the temple, that they rejoiced, they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So, God, I just thank you for this time, and I just thank you for your word, God, and thank you for all the things that we teach, that we get out of it, God, and continue to be with these men, God, and continue to teach us. God, that we would be united in one spirit together, God, just to love each other as brothers, that we would preach the word with boldness, that we would ask for healing in their lives, God, and God, that we would enjoy this life, God, that we would seek purity, God, that we would seek all the things that you have for us, God, and as you show us things of this life that we could never have hoped or imagined, that we would have a continued testimony to tell this world of the riches of your love, God. And so we just thank you for the things you have done and are doing and will continue to do in all of our lives. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.